We have baptisms because we want to put our focus on the reason why we have gathered. But yet, I believe it's always helpful for us to understand what the purpose of baptism is. We are distinct, and I would like to read to you from one of my favorite preachers of yore. And if you think it's Charles Spurgeon, you'd be right. Two questions, he says. One, how ought baptism to be administered? And two, to whom ought baptism to be administered? These are the questions to which we in our consciences feel compelled to offer answers which differ very materially from those which are given by other Christian people. Again, let me explain this matter and set it in as plain a term as possible. We believe that this ordinance should never be administered apart from the entire immersion of the candidate in water. Amen. We're Baptists, come on, you gotta hang with me here. I know it's the evening service, but. And we also believe that none should be candidates for this ordinance excepting those who avow their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Better. You're hanging with me now. And here let me observe that the very common notion that we are in the habit of practicing, I'm going to do this now and so I don't forget about it. I've lost more watches that way. And here let me observe that the very common notion, I've got my phone in my pocket too, sorry, I'll get this out eventually. That the very common notion that we are in the habit of practicing adult baptism is utterly a mistake. We do not contend for the baptism of adults. We contend for the baptism of believers. Show us a child, however young, who believes in Christ, and we gladly accept him. But if a man as old as Methuselah were to come to us in unbelief, we should say to him, "Sir, your age certainly entitles you to our respect, but it gives you no manner of claim to baptism as ordained by Jesus Christ." Now that is Spurgeon's words. I would read to you from the First London Confession of Faith on the importance of baptism. Although a true believer, whether baptized or unbaptized, be in the state of salvation and shall certainly be saved, yet in obedience to the command of Christ, every believer ought to desire baptism and to yield himself to be baptized according to the rule of Christ in his word. And where this obedience is in faith performed, there Christ makes this his ordinance, a means of unspeakable benefit to the believing soul. And a true believer that here sees the command of Christ lying upon him cannot allow himself in disobedience thereunto. That's 1646 English. Let's put it in today's English. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you persistently believe that you do not need to be baptized, it calls into question whether you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because part of being redeemed by Jesus Christ is you begin to love the commands that he has given. And there are two ordinal commands that he has given, the first being communion, which we'll celebrate on January 1st, and the second being baptism. Now, communion is a perpetual ordinal communion. What does that mean? That means that you continue in it after you've done it once. You do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again, and then you do it again. And as often as you do it what? In remembrance of him. But baptism is a singular ordinance. We don't baptize, you know, we're not going to get in line here and everybody at Grace Baptist Church is going to go through the baptistry again. Why? Because it's a picture of a past event that has happened. It's not a reminder Communion is a continual and perpetual reminder. Every time we take communion, we look at it and we say to ourselves, this is the body of Christ. This is the blood of Christ. This is what has been offered for me. This is the sacrifice that has been given for me. When we go into baptism, we're reminded of our position in Christ, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But Christ, when he died, we died with him. And when he was buried, we were buried with him. And when he rose again to newness of life, we rose again with him. So it's a positional picture. Now, when you do positional preaching in a Baptist church, people tend to gloss their eyes over and they roll back in their head and everybody dozes off. But hopefully that won't happen this evening as we briefly look at this. I want you to look in your Bibles in Romans 6, and we'll look at verse 3. And I'm checking my pants to see if I have anything else, and I do not. Romans 6 and verse 3. Paul is building his case in Romans, and I don't want to take the time to go through that, but he builds a case in the early chapters of Romans that convinces all of our sin. If you're a Gentile, you're a sinner. If you're a Jew, you're a sinner. If you're in Adam, you're a sinner. And he convinces us of that sin. And then he moves to show us the justification and the righteousness that Christ has given to us. But then he begins chapter 6 with this very negative statement. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he gives this extreme negative. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Then he begins to show us our position in Jesus Christ. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ... Now, this is speaking of the Holy Spirit baptism into Jesus Christ that happens at salvation. That is not a separate event. That happens at salvation. We are baptized into Jesus Christ. What does that signify? That we are baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This gives us a practical position. Christians are the people who walk in newness of life. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. So when Millie and James step into the waters of baptism, they're saying publicly to this church that they are covenanting to walk with Jesus Christ in righteousness. Now, does that mean that they're going to be 100%? No. But they are also going to covenant with us in membership. And they are going to say, we voted on this provisionally this morning, they are going to say that we are going to become members of Grace Baptist Church. What does that mean? That they'll be held accountable by those that are around them, to encourage them, to stir them up to truth, to stir them up to righteousness. If they're walking apart from the way the Lord walks, then we go to them in love and say, listen, come back and walk in the way that Christ has foreordained for you to walk in. And they get a privilege. They get to do that with us too. Every new believer gets that privilege. They get to come humbly to those Christians who are walking with them, and they get to say to them things like, listen, new Christians will challenge you. Hang around a new Christian for a while because they'll challenge you. They'll ask you, why are you doing these things? A new Christian is just like a new child. As a child grows, they go through that questioning phase, right? And every child goes through it. I think boy children go through it worse than girl children do. And they ask these questions over and over and over. I don't know how many times Josiah was helping me fill the baptistry on Saturday morning. And I don't know how many times he was asking me questions. How do we do it this way, Dad? What are we doing? And then the bonus children came. And they started asking me questions. Well, why is it done this way, Pastor? And how does it happen this way? Pastor Nathan, does the water go up or down out through there? And I thought to myself, well, gravity teaches us that all things flow down. And so these are the things you share with kids. I was a questioning child once, too. My Uncle Pat remembers vividly the one time I was down in his garage and he was working. He used to work on boat motors. And before he was saved, you could see the blue streak that would be around the garage when he was working on a certain part of the boat motors. And I just happened to show up that day, and I began to do what children do. I stood there and I asked him questions. And finally, I looked up at the attic in the garage, and I said, "What's that door for, Uncle Pat?" And he said, "That's where we put kids that ask too many questions." So I went home. But new Christians will ask questions, and we encourage them to. If you see one of us walking in a way that you're wondering, is this faithful to Christianity? Ask. Because a person should be always willing and ready to give an answer for what they believe. And so what we're trying to encourage you tonight is to understand the importance of baptism. And I have in the past preached on baptism in a subjectival manner, but tonight I would like to go over what the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith has to say on baptism. It makes four statements, and I want to look at each one of those statements in turn. The first statement that it makes is that baptism is an ordinance of the New Testament ordained by Jesus Christ to be unto the party baptized a sign of his fellowship with him in his death and resurrection, of his being engrafted into him, of remission of sins, and of giving up into God through Jesus Christ to live and walk in newness of life. Baptism is commanded for us to participate in by Jesus Christ, but I will state this to you plainly so that you understand this. Baptism is not a means of grace. It is not a means of salvation. Baptism is a picture of what has happened. It is a sign of identity. The debt is paid, not by us, but it is paid by Jesus Christ's death. Jesus Christ's death was the only acceptable payment for our sins, and Jesus Christ's burial was the only burial that was acceptable for those sins to be taken away from us, as in the Old Testament with the scapegoat. You see, it pleased the Father to bruise the Son in our place. And he climbed the tree bearing our load of guilt. And that's what we are reminded of when we read Romans 6, 3 to 5. We are reminded of our identity with Christ. That Christ identified with humanity. Isn't that what we're celebrating at Christmas time? The incarnation of Jesus Christ, that he would identify himself with humanity, that he would choose beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he would take what the Father loved and claim it as his own preciousness. Isn't that wonderful? What we said this not too long ago. What is the grounds of the assurance of your salvation? The grounds of the assurance of your salvation is that God loves you. That's the grounds of the assurance of your salvation. And if God loves you, Jesus loves you. Because whom the Father loves, the Son loves. And because the Father loves us, the Son says, "Father, I will go for them. I will identify with them. I will make myself a man. I will take on," we sang, "veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel." He came and identified himself with us by becoming a man. Why? Two reasons. Number one, you cannot kill God. And even in his flesh, they could not kill him apart from his own will. Number two, he had to be related to man if he was going to make an atonement or a propitiation for their sins. And so he had to become a man. Wow. That he would do that for us. And we remember that Christ took on himself our sin. And we see the power of this sign. Not only is going under the water of baptism a symbol of our burial, but it is also a symbol of our death. You're not buried alive, right? You hope not, right? You ever wake up at night with that fear? I don't want to be buried alive. I'm the most claustrophobic person I know, second only to my son Samuel. But we are not buried alive, we are buried dead. Christ not only died for me, but I died in him. So my death with him requires my burial with him. Before salvation, I lived with Adam as my head, enslaved in my sins. But you see, I have been claimed by God and cleansed by his Son. So now the effects of Adam's headship in my spirit are removed, and in Christ I find my new and living head. And in Christ I find my new life, and I'm identified with him. I have lived, I have died, and I have been buried. I have kept the law. I have satisfied justice, not because of anything I have done, but because of everything that Christ has done, so that when the Father looks at me, he sees Jesus. Wow. That's why Galatians 3:27 says that we have to put on Christ. And baptism is the sign, not the means of this identity, it's the sign of this identity. It is a sign of our walking in newness of life. I am identified with Christ as a baptized believer. The second statement that the confession makes is those who do actually profess repentance towards God, faith in and obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ, are the only proper subjects of this ordinance. Turn with me, please, just a few pages back in your Bible to Acts chapter 8. One of my favorite portions of scripture. Philip is preaching. Revival is breaking out. And Philip gets a call to go for one man. One man. He leaves a burgeoning work to go for one man. This reminds us of Christ's intended purpose. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the angel of the Lord in verse 26 spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And this guy gives the best answer that any preacher could ever have given to him in his life. He said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And I almost get the impression that this Philip is there. Me. I'm the one. God sent me. This is what you look forward for. You look for people who say, when James came to me a couple of weeks ago and he said to me, Pastor, we were going to have communion around Thanksgiving time. And he said, Pastor, am I allowed to partake in communion or should I wait until after I'm baptized? I wanted to do a shout and dance because I was thinking to myself, he's got the right idea. He's asking because he knows that this is so important, that this isn't something that he should play around with. And that's exciting. I love when people in the church come up to me and say, Pastor, I have this theological question for you. Can you answer it? I'm like, me. That's why God has put me here. That's my role. And it's exciting to see those things. And this guy is saying, it's me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And I get the same feeling here that I get when I read Ruth. Remember Ruth? She just happened to light on the part of the field that belonged to Boaz. Just happened. Wink. Well, this Ethiopian eunuch just happened to be reading the most Christ-centered portion of Scripture at the very moment that Philip would be there. Why? Because God loved him. God loved this Ethiopian eunuch who was not of his people. And he had directed him to this portion of Scripture, and he had sent to him a preacher, because how can they know if we don't go and tell them? And the place of the Scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Ha! This is what you want! Just, this is like in Acts 16, the later encounter with Lydia that Paul has, that the Lord had opened her heart. This is what you're looking for. We see in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. So at some point, Philip talked about baptism. Why do we know that? Because when they came to the water, the Ethiopian eunuch knew what to do. And he said to him, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
Wow. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water. I love to point this out at RPTS while I'm down there. They went into the water. He didn't bend over, grab a little bit and sprinkle it on them. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, Philip's job was done. Remember, we're living in a time of historical faith. This is not the Ordo Salutis. This is the Historia Salutis. This is not a repeatable thing. You're not going to see me disappear out of the waters of baptism when I come up out of here, because my name ain't Philip and we aren't living in the Acts age. This is a one-and-done event that happens. And what happens? The Spirit of the Lord catches Philip away because he had somewhere else for him to go. And the eunuch never saw him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. And verse 40 says that Philip was found a long way away. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Wow. This is a powerful passage of Scripture. Baptism is absolutely not for the unsaved. Absolutely not. We would be called credo Baptists, which means that you have to be able to make an affirmation of your faith in order for you to be baptized. We believe that you have to say the same thing that the Ethiopian eunuch said, that I believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. When Millie and James go down into the water, that's what I'm going to ask them. We don't do baptismal classes with kids because they're becoming junior members. We'll do classes with them later when they become senior members. We did classes with James, and I told him right at the outset, I said, the baptismal class is not so that you can be baptized. You don't need a class to learn how to be baptized. You just have to make a profession of faith to be baptized. The baptismal class is because you're going to become a member of Grace Baptist Church. So it's a membership class. But the point is that I will ask them when they go into that water if they believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they must affirm that they believe in Jesus as their Savior. Now, I've talked with them both individually. The deacons have talked with them. To the best of our ability, we believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are very sincere in their profession. And it is out of this profession that they desire to be baptized, because they want to be obedient, just as the believers in Acts 8 and verse 12 were desirous to be obedient, when it says, "But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." How were they baptized? Because obviously Philip talked about baptism. He had to have for them to know it. Because how can they know unless someone tells them? The third thing that the confession states is the outward element to be used in this ordinance is water, wherein the party is to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, 19 to 20 gives us the phrasing. Acts 8, 38 gives us the understanding of going down into the water. We don't believe this to be a repetitive dipping here at Grace Baptist Church. Our distinctive is that you are baptized once. There's a reason why we baptize you backwards, because we believe that it's a symbol of you dying. There's a reason why we hold you under the water face up, is because that's how we would bury someone, is face up. And then we pull you up out of the water because we believe that that's a symbol of you rising to newness of life. And then you go out of the waters of baptism, and that's a symbol of you walking in newness of life. That's the reason why we do baptism the way we do it. And all of this is, this is all done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's an acknowledgement that our salvation from start to finish is a work of the triune God. Finally, the confession says, immersion or dipping of the person in water is necessary to the due administration of this ordinance. You must go down in the water, Matthew 3 and verse 16 and John 3 and verse 23. The symbol doesn't work if you're not immersed. That is what we believe briefly about baptism. And this is what Millie and James attest to. And this is what they're about to partake in. So, in keeping with the New Testament, we're going to baptize them. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to bring Millie and James before you. We are thankful, O God, for their faithfulness and their desire to be obedient to you. We are thankful for this beautiful picture that you have given to us as a reminder of what is happening at salvation, and we rejoice, O God, in the fact that they wish to identify with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would keep them safe in their life. Lord, we know that dark times come to all those who follow you, but we pray, Lord, in the midst of that, they would find comfort in you. We know, Lord, that blessed times come to all those that follow you. We pray, Lord, that the blessings would not be so great upon them that they would lose sight of the giver of that blessing. And we know, Lord, that there will be times of strengthening and that there will be times of learning. We pray, Lord, that all of it would be done for their good and for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Millie, she's first. If Karen could come up, and Tom, I've got to get my, are you okay with your shoes going in, or are you taking those off?
Yeah.
Take them off. Sure. Go ahead. These are my red socks tonight. They're very Christmassy. Let me put on my red shoes. For those of you who are not here at Grace regularly, red is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And I always wear red socks when I'm preaching, because it reminds me that it's only through the Holy Spirit that I can do what I'm doing.
some question that the heater would not work, and we were concerned of that. I was concerned of that. You're going to stand on this side of me. Well, he put it on this side, so stand right here for right now to talk. Now, you did that already this morning, but can you give a testimony again of your faith? Just tell the people that you believe in Jesus Christ.
I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and He is the only way to heaven.
Amen. And because of that, you desire to be baptized. So, I'm going to stand you right here because I'm right-handed. And you're going to put one hand here and grip it real hard. And the other hand the opposite way and grip it real hard. And then you're going to get down into your knees. Bend down a little bit. Lay down until you get your shoulders under. That way I don't float you. Okay, let's look up a second. You'll be okay. I've only lost 3 people. It's okay. Millie, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, say yes.
Yes.
And do you wish to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Okay, then I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Wait right here. Great. Turn around. Turn this way. Millie had chosen a song to be sung, so if you can lead in that song, Dan.
It's number 264. Nothing but the blood.
Can wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. But the blood of Jesus.
Let's sing another verse. Sing one more verse.
We'll sing the last verse.
This is all my hope and plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Go ahead out here. If you just want to wrap up and stand over there. Here, Karen's a towel. She wants to stand on it. It's my imitation of a whale. Yeah. Yeah. And here's this then. All right, James. Yeah, that's what I said. All right, James, if you'd like to give a testimony. I know you did a little bit this morning, but just remind everybody here this evening.
October 30th, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord, and I serve a wonderful and great Savior.
Amen. All righty, I'll take that. Now, same deal. Just grab, yep, like that. And then you're going to get way down there. Because I always like to tell this story of Tom. The first baptism I ever did in a baptistry was with Tom, All the rest had been in a swimming pool. Everybody was up to their necks. And I was in the baptistry with Tom, and he was standing up, and I baptized him, and his feet went up in the air, and I had to baptize him like this. So ever since then, I have the people get all the way down in the water before I baptize them. So if you've never done a baptism before, that's keys. Keys to success. Get them down in the water. All right. James, you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Are you willing to be baptized and show your obedience to his command in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. James has asked for victory in Jesus. So because they've been baptized, we welcome them into membership at Grace Baptist Church. We've already voted on that this morning, and we rejoice in that. And they're going to go and get changed, and I'm going to go and get changed, and you guys are going to sing another hymn to allow me time to get back here. excuse me. Remember to do that now. We invite you to come and join us for the finger foods afterwards. Also, we invite you, if you have nowhere to go on Friday evening, this Friday evening, we invite you to come there as well and see our Christmas program that our kids have worked on. The one thing that we have to do tonight is we have to practice as a choir at some point. So I don't care if it's after fellowship